I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
On this episode, we talk to Dr. John DeGarmo. We talk about foster care and all the ins and outs of fostering children and everything he's done to create awareness on fostering. So join us, won't you, on this amazing experience that we like to call The Dad Experience.
Welcome to another episode of The Dad Experience. Very excited about another exciting dad on the show and another exciting episode. Today we have Dr. John DeGarmo. He is the director of the Foster Care Institute, and he acts as a consultant to foster care agencies and legal agencies across the U.S. He's a speaker, informative trainer on the foster care system, and he is just very knowledgeable in the foster system. He has a lot under his belt and a lot to share with our Dad Experience audience, so we're going to get right to it. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the program.
Great, great. Well, we always start each episode off with just who lives with you at home and what is the makeup of your household?
Well, that changes from day to day as a foster parent, but currently it's my wife and myself, and we have six children of our own. Three of those children are right now at college. And we have three children from that we've adopted from foster care. And of course, as foster parents, that can change any day, really, the number of kids coming in. We've had as many as 11 kids in our house at the same time.
Wow, 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 wow. That's, do you live in a fairly big house, I'm hoping?
let me put it this way. We have changed every room available into a bedroom. There's no more man cave, so to speak. There's no more storage room. We took a hot tub out of one room and put another bedroom in. So, it serves its purpose.
That's good. That's good. So you find the space for them. And kids in college, so that's got to be tough, too. How many did you say were in college right now?
Three of my own. Plus, we've had several kids who have been foster kids of ours who we also help out in college, too.
No, wow, wow. Well, bless you guys. That's amazing. I know I'm not quite there yet, but even remembering from my college days and what I went through and what my parents went through, if you have three at the same time and then others that you're helping, that's a lot to do. So, you know, more power to you guys. And it's awesome to hear that you do so much for all these kids. So tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a dad. And maybe, you know, it sounds like it's kind of evolved on itself a few times from foster parents to kids of your own. So maybe you can kind of tell us a little bit of a Cliff Notes version of your journey to becoming a dad.
Yeah, it really has changed, just to be sure. I never really set out to be a foster parent. Our first child died of a condition called anencephaly, or some pronounce it anencephaly. It's a condition where the brain or the skull never truly form. That was our first one. Years later, when we had three healthy children, years afterwards, I was teaching in a rural school setting, and I noticed a lot of other kids in my classrooms who were suffering from a lot of different abuse and neglect and abandonment issues. So then I asked my wife, hey, you know, we lost our first child. How can we help other kids? So that's led to over 60 kids coming through our own home. That's led to adopting three from foster care. And I've really dedicated all my life to helping children and families in need.
That's amazing. And just kind of your journey from early on to where it is now, just kind of, you know, managing what you went through early on and then evolving in there. It's just such a wonderful story to hear. So what was it like going through the foster process and then ultimately becoming that dad to these foster children, ones that you've adopted, or even, you know, maybe we can kind of piggyback that after, even sometimes I'm sure that when you foster, they go off to other homes, just kind of moving them to other homes and dealing with that kind of process as well. And, you know, having them go elsewhere. So maybe just to start what is it like to go through the foster process?
Well, fortunately, and as it should be, it's a very rigorous training, if you will. You know, to become a foster parent, just not anybody can do it. So it's very, very rigorous. Lots of background checks, lots of and it should be, because not everybody should be able to take care of these children in need because they are not your children. It's pretty rigorous. It's pretty intensive. But I'll tell you this: they never really train you thoroughly to be you really are not prepared for these children to come into your home, because these kids don't want to be in my house as a foster father. They don't want to be here. I'm not their father. My wife's not their mother. our norms are not their norms. Our family is not their family. Our house rules are not their rules. At the end of the day, so many of these children want to go back to their norm, even though their norm might be a norm of abuse or neglect. So it's very, very challenging, to be sure. It's the most difficult thing I've ever done. At the same time, it's the most rewarding thing I've done, too.
So then maybe talk a little bit about, I know you mentioned a little bit about some of the kids, they don't always want to be there. They don't always want to follow the rules. But some of those bonds that maybe you've built, and then those children go elsewhere. Has that ever happened where you've kind of, you know, you're still in touch with them, but they move on to another home or become adopted by somebody else?
Sure, sure. You know, so many people say to me, Dr. John, I couldn't do what you do. It would hurt too much to get the kids back. And I tell them that's how it's supposed to be. You know, when they come to our house, there's no labels. There's no label of a foster child or adoptive child or biological child. They're all my kids. And my wife and I give them, as all good foster parents do, we give them as what they need the most. And that is for someone to love them with all their heart, love them unconditionally, love them so that when they leave, it really, really hurts having heartbreak. But that's a good thing because we're giving the kids what they need. So yeah, you know, sometimes we're able to stay in contact with those children, and that can be very, very wonderful. Sadly, many times that's not the case because when they go back to their environment, to their birth parents, sometimes those birth parents really don't want to have us in their life anymore because we might be a reminder to them of a part of their life they don't want to remember anymore.
Yeah, that's got to be tough, and it's got to be tough on all the parties involved, you know, and I could see how that would maybe happen and how that would, you know, come to be an issue at times or even just be able to separate. But over time, it sounds like that you've been able to be in contact with some, and then others, you just kind of have to move on. And it's what's in the best interest of the children is what it's sounding like.
Yes. Yes. The best interest of the children. Absolutely right.
Yeah, that's what, and that's always what we want for our kids as parents, or you say you're an educator, I'm an educator as well. We always want what's in the best interest for the kids and what's going to make them succeed in the long run. And sometimes we have to put our feelings aside when we're in education or in foster care or whatever, I'm assuming that it's always in the best interest of those kids. So have you had some major, major breakthrough and success stories of any of the kids that you fostered or, you know, obviously you have kids in college, but any that have gone back to, you know, their parents, and then you see these great success stories after they've been in foster care. Have you ever had anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. We have one who came to us when she was 17 years of age, who had suffered really 9 years of really horrific, horrific abuse by several people in her life who had adopted her from various adoptions. So when she came to us at 17 years of age, she had tremendous issues of trust, tremendous issues of attachment, And that was a difficult time for all of us. But now she is, I think she's 29 years of age. She's a caseworker. She works for child welfare. She's giving back to the system that, you know, she was once part of. We are the grandparents, if you will, to her two sons. That's so rewarding. You know, Christmas is a really wonderful time at our house. So many times we have children who used to live with us from the foster care system come back and visit us. And indeed, 1 year we had 23 children in our house during that season, because again, these are kids who used to live in our homes and were part of our family. And once they're part of our family, they are always part of our family.
So how does that usually happen? Is it like just an open invitation all the time, or is it just something that you guys do occasionally?
No, it's always an open invitation. We have children popping in our house, in and out of the house all the time, every single week, every single month. And that's lovely. It's absolutely wonderful because we've been able to show these children that, you know, we're not going to desert them, that there's somebody in their life that they can trust, that when we say we love you, we mean it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's important, especially I mean, in education, that's important when they're developing in high school through middle school, whatever. But it's just important in general to know that there's a place, there's always a place you can go, there's always a place you can get advice from young to adults. I think that's just a thing that we all need as human beings, is just to be heard and to have a place to go. So it sounds like you guys are creating an amazing safe haven for a lot of these children and now adults.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. And you know, so many times these children don't have someone like that. You know, sadly, the statistics are pretty grim for children or youth who age out of the foster care system. 55% will drop out of school. 65% will end up homeless. 75% will spend time incarcerated in jail. And then for so many of these kids, the system just repeats itself for the next generation. So we want to show these children that, you know what, just because you're not living in our home anymore doesn't mean that you will not have a family that was going to, that will care for you and love you and support you.
Yeah, right. And that's so crucial to, you know, I see it all the time in education as well, as where it's just like a lot of times when there's not that place for kids to be or a home to be, they're not as successful without that backing or that support. So to have some sort of strong foundation for children sounds like it's been a huge thing for you and your family and your foster process with the foster children.
Every child that's come through my home has made me a better person in some way, and I want to be able to continue that relationship with them if I can.
So you've got a book. Can you tell us a little bit, maybe an elevator speech about what the book is that you wrote?
Sure. Thanks for asking. It's called The Church and Foster Care, God's Call for a Growing Epidemic. And the book centers around what I believe is the next great mission field for today's people of faith, whatever faith that might be. You know, we don't have to go to Nicaragua or Honduras or Mexico or overseas just to find a mission field. There's a mission field in every single community in our nation. There are over 500,000 children in foster care on any given day. And the number is really growing, mainly due to the opiate crisis, the opiate epidemic, if you will, that's strangling America. And I get it. Not everybody can be a foster parent. It's the hardest thing I've done. But everybody can help in some way. And again, this is where I feel the people of faith and faith-based organizations are being called to care for these children. So that's what this book centers around. It centers around how we are being called and how people of faith can help the children, help the foster parents, and even help the birth parents in a variety of ways.
Yeah. So in your book, it's just showing how they're called, and is that book available now currently, or is that book to be released?
No, it is currently available. It's actually just came out. You can get it at all good bookstores. You can get it on Amazon, get it on my website. Right. It's really a book designed for classes, for small groups, for Sunday schools, if you will, because each chapter ends with a number of questions for discussion. So I really believe that it hopefully will perpetuate people of faith thinking about, you know what, how can we help these children who are living in our own neighborhoods, in our own community?
Yeah. And I think now, like you said, more than ever, and maybe you can kind of elaborate on this, it's really important for us in society and culture nowadays. I think with the advent of everything being so immediate and seeing people's, you know, their surface of their lives on social media and all this curated stuff, that why now do you think we need to kind of break those barriers down and have this become more of an open discussion in our society and culture now? Because to me, I think it's such an important thing that we need to start talking about this and breaking down these barriers, because not everything can be, you know, this great procured image that we see on social media. And there's kids out there that don't have that, or people out there that don't have that. And I think it's so important for this book or for what you do. And why do you think it's so important for society and culture?
Well, you can just look at two of the three children I've adopted. Two of the three kids I've adopted are third generation foster care, which means their parents and their grandparents were also in the foster care system, and the system just repeated itself. In fact, those two girls, their birth mother was prostituted out by the age of 9 by her birth father, a victim of child sex trafficking, which also happens in every single community. Foster care, child sex trafficking, these are things in America that are becoming more and more prevalent, yet we as a society don't want to talk about it. We don't want to recognize it because it makes us feel uncomfortable. But again, it's in every single community. So if we're not taking care of this now, it's just going to grow.
No, yeah. And I know here we're in the Metro Detroit area. We have a really, really, really one of the worst areas for human trafficking. So it is. And like I said, even before too, even with the social media, it makes it even worse, I would think. Not even because of the image people are portraying, but also just the access to people and kids. So it seems like it's something that definitely needs to be looked at, and more people hopefully will get involved, and maybe we can talk about how people can get involved here in a little bit. But this is a great place for us to take a short break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. If you like the Dad Experience, download the Parents On Demand Network app. You can get that on the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store. Also, stick around to the end of the episode, because if you like the Dad Experience, there's another great parenting podcast that if you stick around to the end that you'll hear a little bit of. And if you like the Dad Experience, I'm sure you're going to love that one. So stick around after the break. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We have Dr. John here on with us. We are talking foster children and all the children he's had in foster care and those that he's adopted, and just talking the importance of and the awareness of foster care, and hopefully raising awareness so more people will get involved and maybe seek out the process to help out some other families. So what kind of advice do you give other parents who are thinking about or just starting out as a foster dad or foster parent?
Oh, it's a great question. Thanks for asking. The first thing I tell them is this: if they're married, if they have a partner, the first thing they have to do is they have to discuss it. They have to discuss it as in a relationship, because both have to be in complete agreement. It is not a one-person job. It is completely a two-person job. I could not be a foster parent without my wife, and I believe vice versa. We couldn't do what we do without each other. Both have to be committed. If not, it really can put a strain or even end a marriage. So that's the first thing to talk about. And then after that, they have to ask yourself questions like, how do the rest of your children, if you have children of your own, how do those biological children feel about it? But you know what? Really, anybody can be a foster parent if they have a heart for children. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to have a big house. You don't have to be married. You just have to be a strong advocate and want to make a difference in the life of children in need.
Well said. That's good, because I think people might have that kind of connotation that if you're going to be a foster parent, and I'm not going to lie, I think some of that was some things that maybe I just assumed, which is not always the best thing to do. But you have to have a bigger place to have, or you have to have the money to be able to do that. And a lot of times, I would imagine, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of these kids just need love and a place to be rather than dollars and cents.
Oh, absolutely right. And that's with really any child. A child needs stability, a child needs security, but what they need more than anything else is for someone to love them unconditionally. And that's what good foster parents do.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've got some great advice for our listeners out there and those that might be looking at it. So where does a person start? So they've heard this podcast, they've heard you speak, they're very interested in helping and giving back. Where can somebody start, or a parent start, to begin, the process in looking at becoming a foster parent?
Right. Thanks for asking. They can go to contact their local child welfare agency, whether it's a public one, a state one, or a private one. Some states have a number of private foster care agencies, and that might be the route they want to go. Or maybe they want to work with their state-based agency. So that's the first thing they need to do. Contact them and enroll in classes. And then after they take the classes, there's police background checks, there's a home inspection, there's all those kind of things. Also, if they go to my website, the Foster Care Institute, there's a page there about how to become a foster parent. And I pretty much spell out exactly what needs to be done in order to become a foster parent for today's children in crisis.
Well, that's great. And we'll be making sure that we link out your the website and all that information in the show notes too, so folks can just click on it and get more information that way. What do you think has been the biggest challenge or experience you've had as a dad or a foster parent?
Oh, the biggest struggle for me is when the children leave. It's so very difficult. Again, it's like losing your own child. Your heart breaks, and my heart's like a quilt with all these patches over it. I've become an emotional cripple over the years, because I just cry at the drop of a hat these days. My wife says she can't take me to any movie that has a name Nicholas Sparks attached to it, or watch a commercial for a Hallmark movie on TV. I'm going to start crying because my heart's been broken so many times. But I also think that's a wonderful thing, because I've given the kids what they need more than anything else, and that's someone to love them. That's challenging for me. I said earlier, I've had as many as 11 kids in my house. Sometimes juggling visitations, doctor's appointments, therapy sessions, homework. That can be challenging as well. Lack of sleep. That's another one. My wife and I keep saying we're going to sleep when we die.
Yeah. What, and you know, if you don't mind me interrupting and asking, what has been the biggest age range that you've had from youngest to oldest?
I've had as young as 27 hours of age and as old as 18 years of age in my home and everything in between. I actually had at 1.7 in diapers, which should be illegal in all 50 states, I think.
I have 2 in diapers right now, and that's crazy.
Yeah, we had a Christmas a couple years ago with 7 in diapers, and we often refer to that as the very smelly Christmas.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. Oh, just a very exhausting Christmas, too. Right. Christmas is already exhausting, but yeah. I can't even imagine. So you've talked a little bit about it, but on the flip side of that, of the challenge, what has been the most rewarding?
Oh, my goodness. I said earlier, every child's made me a better person, better husband, better father, a better member of the community, just a better person overall. I've learned so much from the children. It's never boring. Being a foster parent is never, never boring. It's always a life of tremendous adventure. You know, people think that foster parents do it for the money. I tell them there's no way in the world I'm rich financially, but I am so rich in memories and laughter and joy and surprises. And that's wonderful. It's so rewarding.
Yeah. And I would assume, I mean, there's no dollar signs to that, to the memories and the happiness and the joy, and the joy that you bring to others, I think is just, you know, like you said, no dollar sign can ever compare to that. That's just more reward than anything. So we have a reoccurring segment on this show that we like to do. And this one might be really interesting because I'd love to hear it from this perspective as a foster parent. And you could take it to as you could take it as a foster parent, as your parent to your children. But just what is the thing that you can't wait to experience or see through your kids' eyes, or that you have seen as you fostered, you know, children over the years? What is that one thing that you always like to relive and see through the children's eyes?
You know, seeing that child who had suffered years of heinous abuse and never smiled, never had any reason to smile, really shut themselves off emotionally from everybody. And when they learn how to smile again, or maybe learn how to smile for the first time, like that 4-year-old girl we had in our house who had just suffered incredible rape, you know, learning how to smile for the first time, that's life-changing for everybody.
Yeah. And it's got to be just so rewarding to see, and just something that you may not have experienced yourself as a child, but just to kind of see that open up and adapt and see that joy, it's just, there's probably nothing you could even can compare to that emotion to see that. I don't even know what I would say, how you'd even classify that as an emotion or whatever. It's just that joy of just seeing that barrier break down. I'm sure that was just so rewarding.
Oh, it was. Yes. We have had some kids come to our home too, who had never laughed. And same thing, watching them learn how to laugh through a number of ways of therapy, but most importantly, through that unconditional love that we give them. So they learn that, you know what, I'm in a safe spot. I'm not going to be hurt. Someone actually does love me. I do matter. And again, watching them laugh for the first time too, that's just incredible as well.
Yeah, no, those are all amazing answers and really, really amazing things to share with our listeners. So we, you know, before we close out the show, we always like to, you know, find out a little bit more about you and give you a chance to let us know where people can find you, whether it's social media, let us know where they can find your book. So, you know, this is your time to let us know, where can they find you and get a little bit more information about you and the foster system?
Sure. You can find a lot about foster care and adoption and child sex trafficking and parenting issues at my website, The Foster Care Institute. Just Google The Foster Care Institute or Dr. John DeGarmo. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, Dr. John DeGarmo. And you can purchase that book, The Church and Foster Care, God's Call for a Growing Epidemic, as well as all my other books. There's lots of articles, videos, resources, lots of great material there for anybody considering becoming a foster parent, for adoptive parents, or just people who are considering wanting to learn how to be a stronger parent overall.
Yeah, no, and we will definitely be linking all that information and putting all of that into the show notes so that folks can find your information and be able to get straight to all the books that you've had and all that stuff. So we'd like to thank you again for joining us today and taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to us and our listeners.
Oh, hey, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks. And to find out more about The Dad Experience, don't forget to follow us on Instagram, The Dad Experience Podcast, Facebook, The Dad Experience, as well as email us, experienceanddad@gmail.com. Let us know you have a question for us, have a question for a guest. We will definitely find out the information for you. Or if you want to be on the show or have a show idea, let us know. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.